Me now, please, to 109A, Psalm 109A. I'd like to follow Jack's good example from last week and ask that we would read this, and then we'll come back and think for a moment about the application of it, and then we'll all be singing it together. But let these thoughts be in your mind as we read them together now, starting with stanza one. God, my praise, O be not silent. Wicked and deceitful mouths now are opened wide against me. Lying tongues against me speak. They with hateful words beset me. They attack me without cause. Spurning my love, they accuse me, even while I pray for them. So for good they pay me evil. Give me hatred for my love. Set a wicked man against him, an accuser let him face. When he's tried, let him be guilty. Let his prayer be counted sin. May his days be few in number. May another seize his goods. Without father be his children. May his wife a widow be. May his children beg and wander, driven from their ruined homes. May the lender make him bankrupt, strangers steal his hard-earned cash. Let not one show kindness to him, let none help his orphan sons. His posterity be cut off, may none live to claim his name. May the evil of his fathers be recalled before the Lord. May no wrong deed of his mother from the record be erased. May they all before the Lord stand, prune from earth their memory. This is a very difficult psalm. I believe it may well have been the psalm that Jesus had in mind with reference to Judas. And I don't know whether any of us have ever plumbed the depths of these particular words and experience or not. Some of us to some extent have known some of this, and if you haven't yet as a Christian, you probably will, but not to the same extent. When wicked and deceitful mouths now are opened wide against you, lying tongues against you speak, they with hateful words beset you, they attack you without cause, they spurn your love, they accuse you, even while you're praying for them, they're in the act of accusing you. And they pay good for evil. And they give hatred for love. And they're just out to, as Judas was with Jesus. And so what then is your response to that? The one thing that I'd like to call your attention to here more than any other is the fact that this man did not set out to make things right. He didn't take matters into his own hand and go after this man, whoever it was, whoever they were. He did not do that. What he did do was take this whole situation to God. And he did not lie to God. He told God about his feelings. All of his feelings, in detail his feelings, and left the matter in God's hands. This is a thing that's very hard to do. But I'm persuaded that what Jesus did with Judas was right. There are those today who would try to tell us, not so. Jesus should have done something else for Judas. I feel they do not have the big picture. Because Judas was saying, Jesus himself is of Satan. And so there had to be some action which would prove the rightness of right and the wrongness of wrong. And I believe that this is what God is asking us to do here. We can pretend to be more merciful than God is. But we cannot be. We have to pretend it we're not being. And when a love for righteousness in Christ grows, then there'll also be a hatred of that which is evil. And then the temptation comes to take matters into our own hands. And we'll carry out God's vengeance. He says, don't do that. You leave that to me. What he did with Judas was right. The example of a man who, even in the heat of most intense and justified anger, could submit the whole case to your court, to leave it there, in God's court. My application, my best verse, the verse that seemed to me to summarize everything else, was the last verse in the psalm, and you have to turn clear over to 109C to see it there. In the last two lines of the last stanza on 109C, in the midst of thronging people, I will praise God, for he stands at the right hand of the needy, saving him from men of death. That's the verse that seemed to me to summarize all the rest. I wrote this as an application, I would rather talk with you, Lord, about my love for you and others than about my hatreds and anger towards others. And yet a growing love for you must produce a growing hatred of sin. I know that somehow what you did to Judas was right. And that when I am growing in relationship to you, I must somehow grow in opposition toward those who have soaked themselves in sin and ultimately put themselves into open hostility against you. I desire at every point to be found on your side. I cannot pretend to be more merciful than you are. Let's rise to sing stanzas 1 through 4, 109A. To speak to us. Because you did say that just as that rain comes down and the snow from heaven and never returns, but always accomplishes everything that you promised, so your word would go out from you and would always accomplish precisely what you please and prosper in the thing where you send it. Thank you, God, for inviting us to come to your house, promising to hear us when we sing to you. Your own words again, for putting your words and your thoughts into our mouths and our minds. Thank you for promising to hear us when we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for promising to speak to us through the word itself and to receive as we give the offerings. God, thank you for being here with us today. We'll thank you in eternity for that. Now keep me out of the way and cause people to hear your word. There'd be so much of your word that people will forget anything I say and just remember your word. And we'd thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.